issue with respect to the water on the WhatsApp. But I'm going to take the four lines. We have a full board for the entire day so far. Dr. Brassatz, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Hi, good morning.
I hope you understand me clearly.
Yes, I do.
I just want to raise four thoughts with you.
Mm-hmm.
And like in a car accident, I just want to raise these thoughts. And last night I listened to the panelist's speech, and I find it very interesting. And two of them let us know that the banks, the banks for persons that is 70 years and older, where they will not take out any charges of their money, I would like that also to go to the disabled, because I can give you the reason, one of the reasons, with this COVID thing, it surely the other in this same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the disabled cannot bank $10,000 or $20,000. They're not able to bank a little 50, a little 40, or a little 100. And then every month then the bank take out of that. And if you can save, so this COVID showed us that we is one in the same in this thing. So I like also that same thing that go to the 70 and older, it will go also to the disabled. The disabled can at least put on a little $10 or $20 to help themselves in case of any emergency or anything. You know, they don't have enough, but they like to be independent.
Do you want me to respond immediately, or you want to go with your four? Right. So one observation would be if a disabled person is placing $50, let's say per month, on the bank, and they are facing a $5 banking charge, the question would be, why do they have to put the $50 on the bank in the first place if over time the monies are going to be, they're going to lose the funds? But, you know, questions are, where else would you put it? Those types of considerations.
Yeah, I can answer. Some people is their choice. Some people like bank, some people like credit union.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like, it gets a choice. It gets that you have a choice.
Yes.
If you have $50 and you choose to go and put it on any account, every month, you cannot see $32 of that $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get asked, why they don't help themselves? You can't. My next thought is, you know, if I understand this right or wrong, but from my understanding, I don't know, it's so like, if there is a person in a home, that is working, and there is a high-risk person in that same home, that person is not allowed to work. But if that person is the very maker of that home, what that person will do, or to will suffer from
significant.
Yes. That is. I hear the gentleman speak also about the hotels and and the tourism. Mm-hmm. Also, I think tourism can come up, but it depends on the staff of the hotels. People look at the owners and the managers and those big boats, but the staff is who, if they don't let the guests happy, feel welcome, feel at home, the guest is the staff is the first person that they need. I know they work very hard. Some hotels don't really show depreciation of the staff work to bring the guests back to the village. Mm-hmm. And I know I hear persons telling me, family or friends, that they can't wait to come out to see one another. People just want to see one another. You know, this COVID thing put all sorts of fears in people where they never thought they would see one another again. So I think that if they have the last sense and they know that it is serious, they can come because they just want to see one another. And my last one also, listen to the gentleman, speaking about Bernardi. I study Bernardi. I look at some of his songs I like and think, and I think he had a great contribution to the world. I think that with his talents, he can make the world a lot better. Because even after his death, there still has people that is doing much about him. Mm-hmm. Instead of teaching people how to write to the and then it can go to different levels and educate his people and free his people and teach them a lot more and just writing up a stiff. That is all I have to say. Have a good day and thank you for listening.
Thank you. You raised some good points. It is a good point. I wonder who in the, as you were speaking about the first point, I was wondering who from the disabled community would have, or whether there was representation made on behalf of the disabled community in all of the discussions at the level of the social partnership, that given your group as a vulnerable group or even a more vulnerable group in a scenario like this, we must also give consideration to the challenges of members within the disabled community. And I applaud you for constantly calling and sharing your perspective and representing the persons in the disabled community. Any one of us could suffer either stroke or there's so many things that could render us disabled after we come out of it. And we must always be thinking about persons who are less fortunate or who, and as always, people just want to be treated fairly, they want to be treated with respect, and they want to get their families and themselves taken care of in just in like manner, like anyone who can walk and can see and can do typical things that persons in the disabled community may not be able to do so easily. So thanks for sharing your concerns, and I hope that there was some discussion, as I said, at the level of the social partnership to alleviate some of the challenges that members in the disabled community may very well be facing in this post-COVID and during COVID crisis. Down to Brass Sats, good afternoon. Good morning, we're still... Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm doing well, thanks.
Okay, good, thanks. I have about four questions and comments, and I'll mention them briefly. Mm-hmm. But I'll just preface by saying, Lisa, do you know if the alphabetical order that was introduced has been lifted or if that may be lifted at the third? Do you have any idea? Because I started to listen to the Prime Minister last night, and I fell asleep eventually. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, and I'm not seeing anything in newspaper. Do you know if that alphabetical system has been lifted or revised?
Not yet. Okay. One or two of the times that the Prime Minister mentioned suggested that the order continues as we roll out the reopening, or we call soft opening. But I expect, though, that post the discussion with the Prime Minister, there will be another presentation on some of the, what it will look like. So in other words, what May 4th will look like needs to be clarified, whether, like, for example, the person who asked about the beaches.
Yeah.
It is 6 to 9.
Yeah.
It is 6 to 9. It's not 6 to 9:30. It's 6 to 9.
Right.
It is all the beaches in Barbados, but of course everyone is not going to descend on the beach
right.
at the times that they're open, but there are some protocols that probably need some clarification.
Okay. Does this mean also, Lisa, that the Prime Minister is back at work and we don't have an acting Prime Minister? Do you know?
No, but when the Prime Minister spoke last time, she wasn't back at work. The Prime Minister told us 2 Fridays ago that she has had major surgery, of which her doctors have asked her to take 6 weeks. I don't think that has changed because she's come to address the country.
Okay, because having an acting prime minister and a prime minister at the same time is unusual. But
how is the prime minister at the same time? That's not what's happening.
What's happening then?
What's happening is that we have a prime minister who is on sick leave, but this prime minister, as we know her, continues to come to the public when she sees fit. And I thought yesterday's timing was pretty good, I must say. And share with us on matters of national import. The same acting prime minister is still speaking up. You understand that she was speaking up to yesterday on matters relating to education to the
but
country.
But don't you think that's... I don't want to go there because it may just take the discussion, but I just found that unusual. But that's not major for me.
It is unusual. You're making a valid point.
Sorry, yes.
You're making a valid point. If you're on sick leave, some people would argue that if you're on sick leave, you're on sick leave. But in this peculiar scenario, Barbados is going through a crisis. And I believe that the Mia Amor Motley that we know is one of those people who, well, the doctor has given her some strict measures. She says her brain, I remember what she said that Friday, her brain is still working.
Brain is still active,
she's still cognitive, and she will want to come and speak to her people at a time like this. So maybe yes, it's unusual, but this, you know.
It doesn't reflect good on the acting prime minister, almost as if you don't have full confidence that they can convey what you would probably say to them. But I want to say I support the government in terms of some of the restrictions that have been put in place, albeit I did not like this kind of knee-jerk reaction with the supermarket closing, the changing of the curfew, the 24. I didn't like that. But I believe that we... in the country, as citizens, need to support the curfew. We need to support the social distancing, physical distancing, the mask, the fact that, you know, you can't bunch up. We are trying to contain a virus that is still unknown in terms of the effects and the, you know, certain aspects of that virus. I support that. I want to suggest, however, that if the lettering has not been... lifted, I want to suggest that the Prime Minister look at that, removing that altogether, because for persons who have to go to the bank, have to go to credit unions and pay bills and do other things, that they can use any day, because right now the supermarket has kind of come down, it has kind of flattened out, you don't have the long lines and the crowds as you have to before, and I think the 3-hour thing for banks and all that, you're still seeing long lines and at Shopee. So I would suggest that be lifted.
So just to respond to you and give you a joke at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If you remove the lettering, if we have such long lines for the banks in particular, more so than the supermarkets, because even on my way down, I must say, credit union, bank, I saw some very long lines.
Mm-hmm.
So
Shopee too.
If we do revisit all of the letters. So in other words, if we disband the lettering as you're suggesting, we're gonna have longer lines, don't you think?
What I was thinking, Lisa, is that persons be allowed only one transaction per week. So if you come on Tuesday, you don't think you could come back on Friday.
Right, but the bank right now, the banks, you're only allowed one time for the bank per week, you know. It is the supermarket you get 2 times.
Yeah, but I'm saying the days are open, so you could decide Monday might be better for me. You go and you see a line, say, okay, I'm coming, I ain't going this.
Okay, so you're suggesting remove the... But again, if A to B is on Monday, and A to B has such long lines. Mm-hmm. If we remove the A to B and allow A to Z, don't you think the lines will be longer? I think the issue with the lines have to do with the shortage of, sorry, the limit hours. Of the time period of the hours.
The hours, yes. The hours, it's causing a problem. Mm-hmm. And I believe then that restricting person, I mean, we can look at it, but it's just my observation that okay. If you lift, I know what they're trying to do is to limit, and people, I am still seeing too many persons out and about, motorbike. I saw somebody doing a wheelie, all that sort of thing. That needs to be clamped down. I agree that we have to maintain, be cautious about how our reopening is done, but I really believe businesses were suffering and that needed to be looked at. So I support as it relates to restriction. Okay. One of the questions I want to ask before I go into my 4 points, and I will try not to be long, is as it relates to persons who are deceased, Lisa, mm-hmm. the whole question of the medical, the press conferences that we are having, I just find them to be too sterile. And then we had another case, positive, we reached 7. 24, we have 24 males, 13 females, blah, blah, blah. It's mm-hmm. the same thing over so much that people kind of shut it out. I feel the need to discuss things. I remember when Dr. George came on the first time. He was more expansive, and I liked how he discussed it. I need them to go into a little more detail. For example, they said to us, initially they kept saying there were 3 cases under investigation, which we want to know whether that was the start of community spread. Dr. George, when he came back from leave, said, there is no widespread case of community spread. If you say no widespread,
yes, I heard
suggest that is there. It's, but anyway, yeah, you never come back to us to tell us those 3 cases you're investigating. Another time you tell us you're investigating some more, you never tell us. Another time the Minister of Health says there is a frontline person. Yes, based on a question raised by the journalist, yes, there's a frontline person who was infected. They said, is it nursing? We can't say. I mean, just to say broadly, I don't see what the big secrecy is. Then you found out NAB, but the NAB workers were not the frontline workers. They were office workers. So what happens to this frontline worker?
It was one. I thought I understood it to be one NAB worker.
No, that was after. That's after. That was after he spoke about frontline. This NAB home health that was tested came about, I think, within the last week. Mm-hmm. But when he spoke, he was opening the St. Lucie Harrison Point Center. So that mm-hmm. was a few weeks ago when he spoke about the frontline worker who tested positive. So it couldn't have been referring to that home health person. And then he said, but we have dealt with it. I want people to understand we are all in this, as mm-hmm. the Prime Minister said, so you can't treat us like little children. Be expansive in your information. Okay. I want to know if persons who are deceased, like the guy who died of COVID, you know, or you just treat it as somebody dying from something else. That's another thing I need to
know. I don't know about this Kaimal person, but...
Oh, you didn't hear about it?
Mm-mm.
A guy dropped down while he was waiting in the line last week, I think, or a week before, to go
a report. A former Glendary...
One of the notorious ones.
Yes.
Okay. I also want to say we have to be cautious in terms of how we congratulate and not congratulate, because I'm looking at St. Lucia. St. Lucia had 15 cases, 2 of whom were on ventilators. They had no deaths. Do you know all of them?
All of them have recovered. Yes.
No mm-hmm. deaths. Same with, I think.
Yeah, but look at how much testing St. Lucia did. Huh? Their testing is even, they're not even up as half, as high as we are, half as what we have.
But the fact that they have contained it, no deaths, and okay, the testing might be lower than us. But our problem was this open airport business, which will forever remain with us, because all of those persons who tested positive those persons who died directly were related to persons who traveled abroad and came back in. So that will forever be a question as the government's handling of this, because St. Lucia and those, Trinidad, Dominica, Grenada, shut down their airports early and shut down the cruise terminal business early. So that would always be up for debate, because it is clear those persons died because they came into contact with persons who traveled because our airport was open. If our airport was closed, they wouldn't have been able to come in. But let me ask you the other question, Lisa, the ones I want to raise. I heard the Prime Minister last night said that, I think it's called Job/Investment Council or committee that has been set up.
And has met one time.
Yes, love?
And has met one time.
But Lisa, we only hear about two names, Mr. Chris Sinclair and Professor.
Suppose I tell that my name on it too. and that we meet last Thursday.
I am saying to you, how can you tell us the Gambillers? We only hear about two persons. We don't know who the other person.
But what you need to know, tell me what it's going to do for you, madam.
You're asking us to have confidence in the report that they're going to produce.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know who are these people. Is that a secret? Who are these persons in the business, in the church, and we just need to know that. You don't come and just give two names, mm-hmm. because it would seem then that dropping them two names was political. Because if you were really serious, you would tell us all those persons on that committee. I think that needs to be addressed. Okay. Secondly, I need to ask, are we still paying White Oaks $170,000 a month? Because I think in a time like this, in Trinidad, they call it in this guava season, meaning real hard times, because of the COVID and the fallout, we need to look and make sure that we don't need to be paying White Oaks. They already got $54 million, and then every month going on since 2018, they've been given $170,000. Those could buy masks.
My fellow moderator, Mr. Sanka Price, explained that to you.
I haven't called the program in a long time.
A long time ago, this issue on Wake Up would have come out in 2019. I thought he explained, not you specifically as the caller, but the public. He did share at length. I was driving one time and I heard him speaking. And he shared at length the whole White Oak and what the payment works out to be, etc. But you've raised some interesting points, some of which I can't answer for you. No, I'm not on the council. And no, I don't know who of the other persons... the Prime Minister did drop in again that they met once. And yes, the Prime Minister is a political animal. So, of course, she will on occasion drop in some politics in there with some of her brilliance, in there with some of her humor and some of her other things. She's gifted like that. But rest assured, those matters that they discuss, I hope that they are all for the advancement of the Barbados economy. And for the employment table of Barbados, the whole employment structure and the whole economy in general. I hope that I haven't had a chance to see what the terms of reference of the council would be and what specifically they would be working towards, but I'm sure it is for the advancement of Barbados, especially in a post-COVID time, as well as in still working within the confines of a BERT program, where we know that we have certain measures and targets to meet, some of which we've admitted we will not be able to meet in this particular quarter. And then I also think today is the day for the governor of the central bank to share the information on the last quarter of the economy. Thank you so much for raising your issues. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We also have quite a bit of WhatsAppers. Some have raised some issues in agreement with the query on the last caller as it relates to the protocols, what they look like. So I think that is a general consensus where a number of persons are asking for an explanation as to whether the ABC and those numbering alphabetical systems have been abandoned or whether they're still up for normalcy. This is Dr. Bradstack's good morning. You're good on the air.
Good morning, Miss Gail. How are you this morning?
Hi, morning. I'm well, thanks. Yeah. Very well, thanks.
I just want to say a few things, and I want to say them to Barbadians. And first, I would like to thank the people in the front line, especially the forces of the Barbados Police Force and the Defense Force. And as a person who would have been in some situations already in this country, who recognized off and on that Barbadians would go sleep at night, wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, do whatever they have to do, but they don't know what transpired during the time that they were in their beds and wake up, I would like Barbadians to understand that this is a serious thing. And I listened to the Prime Minister last night, and I can agree that I see what she's trying to do. But I would like to say to Barbadians that the behavior that I am seeing of some of them up to this morning could well put us back into the same problem that the Prime Minister would have said that she's trying to leave and open up and so on. And I would like Barbadians to understand that this is a serious time. And as I said before, there will be that volunteers' attitude and things that they carry that they need to put a stop to it. Because there, as I said, they don't know what they will go through during the night. It is only the people in the front line who knows and understands. Some of them don't even know that Barbados was to be overthrown years ago. They don't know about the closed down of certain things in this airport and things like this. And they get on, and this is not the time for this. And I am saying that all the things that I am seeing is very appalling. And I would like to say to Barbadians to obey the protocols, mm-hmm. do what is required, and to stop doing the things that they are doing. Because those of us who are adhering to what the protocols are calling for should not be made to suffer for a few that don't care or don't think. And I am seeing too many things going on out there, as I said after this morning, that I would like the Barbadians to understand that the time has come that they need to pay attention to what is going on now and stop the nonsense. If they know that they don't have to come out, don't come out. If you have to go somewhere, go and do what you have to do and get back in. And I am appalled at some of the things that I am seeing. I would like to say to Barbadians,
okay,
this is not a game. This is a serious thing. And if there's nothing more, I would appeal to them again. Do not cause the Prime Minister and her cabinet to put us back where we are now trying to come from. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Dr. Brastax. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes. How are you, ma'am?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. This is the first time I'm speaking to you.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah. I want to say I take my hats off and I ask God to protect all of those frontline workers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't have anyone who's a frontline worker, but it touches me because I know how those people have to be upfront and they have their families and all of that. So I want to say thank you to those people, all of them,
mm-hmm.
all of those people. Now, ma'am, with no disrespect to you, about 2 weeks ago, you were working, and there was a gentleman who called in. He said he was a farmer going to deliver some produce where he had a flat tire. I don't know if you remember that, but he told you this is when the tire shops and everything were closed.
I remember the conversation.
Right.
And he asked him if he went X place, Y place.
He said he called. There's no tire shops was open.
Automotive Art was open and Courtesy was open, but I wasn't given a brief by Automotive Art nor Courtesy to tell him to go there. But
right.
He insisted on going to a tire shop, none of which were open.
Well, I wasn't aware that those were open.
They were, but you called the program the following week. I remember your voice.
Right. And I think, like I said, I'm not disrespecting.
No, I don't take any disrespect.
Right. But mm-hmm. I think you sort of didn't help him too much. You sort of like laugh at.
I disagreed with you because I did hear you the following day calling David to ask, to share with David your concern about my treatment of a gentleman. I asked the gentleman who he went to two tire shops, and all two of them told him that they will have to pay $50,000. Is he willing to replace or to pay the $50,000 for them, for which I chuckled. And it wasn't like if I was laughing at him. In my normal conversation with him, I was sharing with him, of course, you know that they would feel a way if they were caught. And if I share that with you, even now in conversation, and I chuckle, why would you take offense to that?
No,
but he was making a legitimate point that he has to service supermarkets, and right. He didn't have a flat tire, you know. He had a flat tire for which he used his...
I think he said he had a flat.
He had one, chain, but he was currently using the bump.
Spare tire.
Yes.
Right. So in other words, he wanted the one that was flat.
So why are you also concerned about it though, sir? Because this is 2 weeks now. This is 2 weeks now.
I was waiting until you returned to speak.
But to say what? That you didn't like how I treated him?
Yeah, that is it.
Well, okay, I take your point. I take that you didn't like how I responded to him. The same man who wasn't even offended at my response, but clearly you're taking offense on his behalf.
I don't know him.
Right, but you don't know him. And like in my normal discourse with persons, even if I make a chuckle, I'm not even laughing at you right now, but you can hear me chuckle just now. But somebody else may be listening to you and may think, the person gets offended too. Are we going to continue to take offense consistently all the time because somebody doesn't do or say what we think they should say or respond? All of us have different ways of doing things and different ways of expressing our reactions and our responses. And there are sometimes when what I say you may not like, sir. And I will just, sometimes you just leave them. It isn't every single thing a caller comes and says that I may like, but I don't need to take offense to it. Life is too short for us to be getting too personal. And my issue with this now, with you now, is that you are carrying it into 2 or 3 weeks, taking up offense for somebody who isn't even offended. So what I suggest to you today, give thanks that this is a new day. Give thanks that you are above earth. And let us move on, okay? Are we clear? Are we on a better page?
Ma'am, I want to wish you a wonderful day.
You as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.